الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء, واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم, ومن يطيع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد, for just a quick few announcements, brothers and sisters listening by way of this broadcast today from Al-Nahj Radio, this Nahj, Kuwaiti Nahj Radio from Kuwait, broadcast live from Kuwait. So these are our lessons in the English language, and these lessons which take place on Yawm al-Jum'ah on Fridays, live after Salat al-Jum'ah, Tawqeet on time of Kuwait, based on the local time in Kuwait, which is approximately 12:30 Kuwait and Mecca time in the afternoon. From the lessons which we have on a live schedule on Al-Nahj Radio in the English broadcast is our lesson by our brother Adam, Abu Ramla Adam, Hafidhahullah, and that's the lesson explaining Al-Thalath al-Usul of Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, Rahimahullah. And this is, again, we'll try and have it every other Friday or every Friday based on the schedules, and you'll find the updates on the Twitter handles that we have from Kuwait, which is Salafia Kuwait, and likewise Al-Nahj, likewise Al-Nahj Radio English Twitter handle. The other lesson, which is my lesson today, and that's the lesson by myself, Nabil Chogal, and that's the explanation of Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmed. This is a lesson which we've covered quite a few points from the book, and we've covered part of the book in the lessons which have preceded over the past year or so in this Masjid Al-Farisi, broadcast live from Kuwait, walillah alhamd. And we'd like to thank our brothers who have organized this lesson, for our brothers from Al-Nahj Radio again. Thank them with a great thanks, Jazahum Allah Khairan. And likewise thank the Ministry of Awqaf in Kuwait for giving us this permission and this permit for conducting these lessons from the masjid, and this masjid for our English-speaking Jaliyat. So we'd like to thank all of those brothers involved and the authorities for allowing and facilitating this lesson on this Yawm al-Jum'ah in Masjid al-Farisi in the Mantaqat al-Adiliya, in the area al-Adiliya, walillah alhamd. And to begin with the lesson, we'll have a quick recap, because as I've mentioned, we've had a break for this lesson itself, Usul al-Sunnah, but we have covered a few of the points. So having a quick recap, this is the book Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmed, and I'm sure that the brothers listening today in the masjid and likewise listening by way of this broadcast are well acquainted with this book, this noble work by the noble Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, who was known as the Imam of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And this book, walillah alhamd, has been taught by a lot of our mashayikh in Kuwait and other than Kuwait, and you have explanations printed, and you have explanations available on MP3 files and in lessons by way of lessons. And from those which have been printed and which are available and which are from the most noblest of works is the explanation of Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmed rahimahullah by the noble Sheikh Rabi bin Hadi al-Madkhali hafidhahullah, which is available and printed, which was transcribed from his lessons, which the Shaykh Hafidhullah taught. And likewise, you have explanation of Usul al-Sunnah by the noble Shaykh, the Imam Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah. And likewise, you have explanation of Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmed by other than them from the scholars like Shaykh al-Fawzan and other than them. And likewise, in the country that we're living in, and this broadcast has been conducted from in Kuwait, we have Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmed taught by the mashayikh in Kuwait, like Sheikh Ahmed al-Subay, Hafidhahullah, and likewise Sheikh Muhammad al-Anjari, and other than them, where they've taught this book over the years. And we've been blessed, no doubt, to attend some of these lessons and to bring to the brothers, by way of this English broadcast, some of the points of benefits from their explanations, which we have with us by way of the books being printed, or by way of the lessons which we've attended, and by way of the lessons which are available. For Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, why Usul al-Sunnah, if one was to ask? Usul al-Sunnah, the foundations of the Sunnah, is a book which is the foundations that a Muslim, a Sunni, a Salafi, he needs in every time, in every place, so that he may understand the intent with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran upon this ummah, and likewise the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which was correct by way of ad-din al-Islam, which the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam followed. You find that Usul al-Sunnah is a book, is a work written by this noble Imam, in which it contains Furqan, it contains that which distinguishes truth from falsehood, as was the methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. This book, Usul al-Sunnah, again, as a quick recap, is a book which contains in it al-Mufassal. It contains in it a detailed explanation, as was the methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came with ad-din al-Mufassal. He came with the detailed explanation. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you find in the ahadith, in the authentic ahadith, with authentic chain of narrations, that he came with specifics, and he came with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a detailed explanation. He didn't come with generalities. For likewise, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, when he started his Usul al-Sunnah, and the first few points which we have here in this halaqa, or in this sitting with our brothers here in Kuwait, in this masjid, that the brothers memorize the text, and we listen to everyone who memorizes it, and may Allah correct our intentions for the reasons of memorizing it, and to give us ikhlas, and to give us sincerity, and for Allah's sake alone. We find that these are important points for that which comes later on. These are important points which Imam Ahmad rahimahullah mentions in it, a detailed explanation. He mentions in it, and he clarifies truth from falsehood from its first point itself. These are points which one, when he keeps it close to his heart, you find that that which comes later on becomes easier and easier upon him, because his foundations, his roots, his that which he has built his religion upon is correct. So when you find him coming and attending the lessons in Tawheed or in Thalath al-Usul, the three fundamental principles, he finds that he has a certain foundational principle by which he sticks to, by way of sticking to the way of companions, by way of abandoning all of bid'ah, by way of knowing every single bid'ah is an accursed innovation, it's in the hellfire, by way of him knowing that having correct iman in al-qadr, in the pre-decree and the pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knowing that everything was written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it was created, having iman in all of these affairs, in the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on yawm al-qiyamah, in the affair of al-hawd al-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the affairs of taking from the companions, taking your religion from the companions, all of these affairs, when he keeps them close to his heart, he finds that that which comes afterwards becomes easier. Likewise, as a side point, and it's important to clarify it in this broadcast today and for our brothers, as you find the fitna that you find, which is very close to where we live in the fitna in Iraq, and the fitna in the lands of Syria, where you have this renegade Khariji group known as the Islamic State or ISIS or ISIL or whatever name they come about by, which is not something new in fact, but it's just their extreme brutality which has been widespread, and you find it in your faces. You find that the Muslim safeguards himself. If he sticks to the likes of Usul al-Sunnah, you find him safeguarding himself from the likes of their fitna. The more you find that the individual, the Muslim, he goes and he sticks to the likes of the works of Sayyid Qutb, or he sticks to the likes of Mawlana Mawdudi or Hassan al-Banna or other than them from these deviant individuals, you find him more and more further away from that which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions were upon, and you find him becoming closer and sympathetic and having empathy for this renegade, brutal Khariji group known as ISIS or ISIL. So it's very important, Ya Ikhwan, and my dear brothers and sisters, by way of those who are listening, by way of this broadcast by Al-Nahj Radio, and those attending the lesson in the Masjid, Masjid Al-Farisi, that it's important that you keep these points close to yourself, these points from Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmad. Understand them correctly, not just understand them and study them as a historical case study, rather understand them and study these points and try and understand what Imam Ahmad rahimahullah intends here behind it, and try and reflect upon these points correctly, with the correct understanding, and return back to the scholars in every time and every place. Don't be such that you try and understand the religion by your emotions only. So you say, yes, I will read through Usul Sunnah, but I'll understand Usul Sunnah through my emotions. You tell this person, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give you the choice in this matter. You find from the authentic ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there will not cease to be a group from my ummah apparent upon the truth. What does it mean, apparent upon the truth? That means they manifest and they clarify the truth, the haq, in every time and every place. They clarify the haq which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. They clarify and give you the complete and total understanding of that which the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were upon. And these are the scholars. These are the scholars, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding them and clarified that they are the inheritors of the prophets. They are who? They're inheritors of the prophets. What did they inherit from the prophets? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they didn't inherit by way of money or dirham or dinar. Rather, what they inherited from them was the knowledge that they came with. So return back to the scholars. Understand Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmad with the correct understanding in the time and place that you live in. So return back to the likes of Sheikh Rabi'i, Sheikh Al-Fawzan, and other than them in the country that you live in. Return back to the scholars that you have here. Don't neglect them. Don't be amongst those who say, yes, I'm here with this country, I know their names, but I won't go to them. Rather, return back to the scholars. You have the likes of Sheikh Ahmed al-Subay, Sheikh Tariq al-Subay, Sheikh Muhammad al-Anjiri in this country. Return back to them. Take your understanding from them. Know how you stay away from the jama'at and from these Islamic political innovative groups and parties in every place that you live in, so you may know their deviations and you may stay away from them. Understand Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmed correctly. Understand the three fundamental principles so you may know that which you need to actualize the Tawheed, to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ibadah correctly. So that was as a recap for what the lessons are about. And then recap from the lesson itself, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he starts off by mentioning Usul al-Sunnah indana at-tamassuku bima kana alayhi ashabu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wal-iqtida'u bihim wa tarqul bid'ah. فهنا Imam Ahmad rahimahullah mentioning وَالِاقْتِدَاءُ بِهِمْ, taking them and taking whom them, them meaning the companions. For Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, as I mentioned in my previous lessons, and this is my first broadcast on Al-Nahj Radio, so it's not something wrong or bad for me to repeat that which we've covered previously. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he doesn't just mention أُصُولَ السُنَّةِ عَنْدَنَا التَّمَسُّقْ بِلُغَةَ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ, and no doubt it's needed. If you don't have the Arabic language, how are you going to understand the Quran and the Sunnah? Because the Quran and the Sunnah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was in the language of the Arabs. It was fi lughat al-Arabiyyah. But just the language of the Arabs is not enough for you to safeguard yourself, to protect yourself, to guarantee for yourself and hope for al-Jannah. It's not enough, just the Arabic language. No doubt it's necessary. But Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, as I mentioned earlier on, He didn't want to start with generalities. Rather, he wanted to give you specifics. And from the specific, the first point he mentioned, at-tamassuk, to hold on firm, to what? Not just the Arabic language, or not just Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather to hold on to the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because there are those who say, let's hold on to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we use our own intellect. Let's hold on to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and let's follow Sayyid Qutb after that. Let's hold on to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and let's take the teachings of Mawlana al-Mawdudi. Let's hold on to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and let's listen to Jamaat al-Tabliq. There's no harm in going out for 40 days khuruj with Jamaat al-Tabliq to Nizamuddin and other places in Bangladesh and in India and doing jola and making dhikr like the Sufis do. La la la. Holding on to the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because you find in the Sunan of al-Tirmidhi, in a hadith which is sahih, which is authentic, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالسُنَّةِ, I'm leaving you, for you is my sunnah. وَالسُنَّةُ الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِينَ, and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa, and they are who? The companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For you is the sunnah of myself, sunnah of Muhammad, and the sunnah of the companions. عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدِ, hold on to it with your molar teeth. Hold on to it, meaning what? Hold on to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions. Hold on to it with your mola, innermost teeth. Not your front teeth, so that if somebody tries to yank it away from you, yanks it, the sunnah of that which you hold on and your teeth with you, along with you. No, hold on to your mola teeth with a firm hold. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to mention, وَإِيَّاكُمُ الْمَحْدَثَاتُ الْأُمُورِ, and beware from the newly invented matters. So look at the first newly invented matter here, which Imam Ahmad wants to clarify and wants to highlight and warn the reader from. That is, a person, he holds on to the way of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he abandons innovation. So if you don't hold on to the way of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will stick to what? You will stick to innovation, and you will be upon an innovated way which is beloved to the shaitan. Why is it beloved to the shaitan, ya ikhwan? It's beloved to the shaitan because a Muslim who sticks to an innovated way, he's doing this not so that he shows off to the people. He thinks that in his heart, he's getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of this innovated way. He doesn't think that he's upon something wrong. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam warned severely, and it was mentioned in some ahadith, as the companions described, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would warn against innovation, his face would become red and his voice would be raised. He would raise his voice. Ilman, with complete knowledge, that there was not a single innovation at the time of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was the Ayyam al-Tashri', it was the time when the Sharia was being revealed. There was not a single innovation, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam warned severely against it. So how about in this time that we live in today, where you have these jama'at, these Islamic political innovative groups and parties, and you have bid'ah widespread, and you have the teachings of Sayyid Qutb widespread, and you have the likes of these brutal renegades ISIS and ISIL widespread. How about in these times? Is it not more befitting for us that we warn against innovation, and we warn the Muslim brothers and sisters and our families and our neighbors to stay away from innovation? As Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah mentioned in his Sharh al-Sunnah, innovation is something, starts with something small. Why does it start something small? It starts something small because this slave of Allah, he thinks for himself for this moment that it's okay, it's only something small. And even though I might not have a proof for this, I might do it, you know, emotionally charged, but I'm getting closer to Allah, so leave me alone. This is the one thing you need to warn against. The person, he doesn't have the choice in this matter. Rather, for you is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for you to worship Him, by following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and being upon the correct understanding of the companions. You don't have the choice in this matter. And if someone says, what are you talking about? I don't have a choice. You don't have a choice in many matters. And I'll finish with this. I'll ask you a few questions for those brothers attending this lesson here, and for those brothers and sisters attending by way of this broadcast from Al-Nahj Radio. I'll ask you these simple questions, and then you realize how little choice you have in these matters. Ask yourself this question. Did you have a choice in choosing the day that you were born in? No. Did you have a choice in choosing the colors of your eyes? No. Did you have a choice in choosing your parents? Or was that all chosen for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did you have a choice in how long you're going to live? You don't have a choice. Did you have a choice in choosing the day you're going to die? You can do what you want by way of technological advances today, or whatever you want. You don't have many choices. What does this show? This shows that you are nothing but a slave to Allah. You are nothing but what? A slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way Allah intended for you to worship Him, is by way of following the way of the sunnah, authentic sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by following the way of the companions. Wada ikhwan, you're just a slave to Allah. You're just in this dunya so that you may actualize the tawheed. This is a dunya of test. The one who passes this test, then his reward is the akhirah. The one who passes this test correctly, sincerely, for the sake of Allah, he does what he does by way of good deeds and by way of what he does by way of ibadah and actualizing his tawheed, so that he may get his reward. He longs that reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorified be He the Most High, in al-akhirah, and that is al-jannah. This is your reward. For you're nothing but a slave. You're nothing but a person in this dunya that you actualize the tawheed. And the only way you can actualize tawheed, singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly, is by following the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. So we'll finish off this lesson by that, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.